We had the moonshine.
We did have the moonshine.
I could probably drink some more moonshine. I think I'd be fine.
I could probably drink some more moonshine. You want some more moonshine?
I can do moonshine.
I'll sip on the moonshine.
Oh, we're going to get some moonshine.
There's your cold open. Now we play the waiting.
Roll me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Now you won't see. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now, I don't know, should you rate me or should I rate you? Should we rate each other? I'm going to say a 2.
I don't know, Carl. I'm telling.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 2. We've been sipping on a little moonshine. It might go up over the course of the evening. In the meantime, I would say not much news has come out of New Orleans this week, at least compared to last week, but that's not going to prevent us from getting together and recording a very special in-person episode for you. Because we care about delivering a low-quality but wildly entertaining experience to you, our loyal listeners. By sticking with us, even after the Saints are not playing football anymore, you will be treated to lots of off-season antics, including this attempt by us in the same room with one microphone. 3 guys, 1 microphone. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. Welcome to your house. What's your number?
Oh, good to be in my house.
He'll be appearing here every day for the next coming.
Yeah, right. No cover charge, no cover charge. All you gotta do is ring the doorbell.
Ding dong.
I'll go with the 4.4.
Alright.
I think you might be a little low on the 2, but
you think I'm underestimating myself?
Just a little, not a lot, just a little, right. Just based on what I've seen you drink.
Okay.
Now granted, you did have some Popeyes beforehand, so you got a nice base in there. So
I'll say I'm
Well, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Well, I might be a little higher than I thought I was. I'll say a 1. This is only my second cup of moonshine. This is a delicious moonshine also.
Very good moonshine.
Because it wasn't really planned, like we didn't get the rum chata or didn't go buy any ponies. I didn't know he was coming.
You didn't know he was coming? You didn't hear him breathing heavy?
I didn't. Don't you like martinis?
Yes.
I actually have 2 pre-made martinis somebody gave it to me, and I haven't had them yet, so all you gotta do is pour it in a glass.
Shit, I'm drinking moonshine already. You trying to get me to a 9?
Well, you've got a literal bar right behind you.
Yeah, we're in a bar.
Yeah, there's plenty of glasses if you want.
Oh, yeah. All right, maybe I'll do that at the next show. I don't want to mix moonshine with vodka.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
All right, so let's get started with a special segment just for the playoffs called Pounding the Playoffs.
You're unzipping my pants.
Yeah, that's right. Just relax. Keep your eyes closed. I'm recording something.
Oh, that feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels good here, too. All right. Okay, I'm going to slow down or I'm in trouble. Too late. I'm going to blow it. Here we go.
Shoot it all over me.
All right.
All right, so our first game to discuss is Carolina at Seattle, which
kind of went the way we all thought it would.
I guess so. There was really no happy ending to that game.
For me, the hardest thing watching that game, and I understand they have to do it, but listening to them blow
each other?
Yeah, Cam Newton and Russell Wilson was just so terrible. Cam Newton sucks. Cam Newton is terrible. He overthrew so many wide receivers. He's just a terrible quarterback. I'm so glad Carolina's going to keep him, but it was hard to watch them slobber over those 2 teams. And, oh, Seattle, they ain't playing championship ball. Carolina is a 7-win team. It's not like they beat Green Bay that way. They beat Carolina.
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
Who didn't have a winning record. So, fuck Seattle. We'll see what happens when they play Green Bay.
Real team.
I mean, it was weird because I find myself pulling for Carolina in the game. I hate Seattle. I don't want to see Seattle win back-to-back Super Bowls. I just don't.
Agreed. I know. Now, this week coming in, you know, Aaron Rodgers has gimpy leg.
I mean, it's and they did beat Green Bay pretty handily week one. Green Bay has not played well outside of Lambeau. I mean, the Saints killed him, for Christ's sakes.
This is true.
So,
Seattle, out of all the teams, Seattle did look like they were the most ready to win
the championship. The game was closer for a while. I mean, if it was a closer game and Newton throws the pick six and then just kind of blew it open, but.
But they were just—they were electric. I mean, playing in front of their home crowd, the defense stayed up the whole game, and then they started getting those interceptions.
Right. Look, but again, from Cam Newton.
We've been up there twice, and it's been Drew Brees doing that too.
Yeah.
A lot of guys.
Oh, no doubt.
Not just Cam.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Seattle has a easier road to the Super Bowl coming this week. So, but we'll see what happens in Glendale, Arizona, away from their fan base.
Yeah, well, and they very well might be playing against New England. That's our next game to talk about, Baltimore at New England. And I think a lot of people thought Baltimore might actually pull it off.
They led the entire game, except with 4 minutes left.
I mean, two times they got 14-point leads in the game. Went up 14-0, then New England tied it. Then they went up again 28-14. I mean, they had until Flacco.
Don't ever underestimate the Bill Belichick.
This is Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Patriots. He's won 3 Super Bowls. How? He cheated. He even got caught cheating, and nobody cared. Bill Belichick proved that in America it's okay to cheat, as long as you cheat your way to the top.
It was those interceptions by Flacco. It killed him at the end.
Yeah, turning the ball over.
It's amazing that...
Something Saints fans know all too much about this year.
It is kind of amazing that they lost the game. I mean, they had it multiple times. You're thinking, all right, they're dominating the game. They're not scared of the Pats. They weren't.
They had no need to be.
And the Pats had to run a fucking trick play.
That was an awesome play.
I mean, it was a good play, yeah.
That was awesome to watch.
Danny Amendola coming out from the dead. Like, what the hell's he been? All of a sudden, Danny Amendola. He'll just catch 2 TDs.
Yeah, they saved him.
The game was very entertaining. It was weird watching the game.
It was actually more entertaining than the Carolina-Seattle game.
Yeah,
it doesn't take much. I don't know if y'all, I'm sure y'all watched the game. It was the Sunday night Collinsworth and Al Michaels.
Read the script.
Right. Roger
Goodell.
Both of them. I lost a lot of respect.
Oh, my God. I mean, how is that even allowed? What?
It's propaganda.
That's all it is.
I mean, that was the most horrible thing I've ever seen in my life.
And then Chris Collins went to say, when all that came out, I never questioned the integrity of that man.
Oh, fucking shit, Chris
I would love if anybody out there can find any proof of Chris Collinsworth saying anything about Roger Goodell being wrong in any way, shape, or form. Please tweet it to us. Tweet it to him.
It was just
embarrassing.
It was. I lost a lot of respect for those two guys.
Right. And Al Michaels is one of the best.
All-time greats. Right.
But they work for the program. They work for the Shield.
And then of course Goodell was at the game in the stands with his wife. Like, that's the first time you've ever seen him in a game with his wife.
Well, it was scripted and organized and set up. You could tell he's reading a script when Chris. If you go back and listen to it, you could tell. I mean, you could tell when I'm reading a script on the show versus when I'm talking extemporaneously.
Sometimes.
Well, you can tell because I'm a better cold reader than he is.
Hello, Roger Goodell is a good person. Roger Goodell is good for the NFL.
We had to do like the speak and spell voice. Hello, Roger Goodell is great.
Roger Goodell. He even like mispronounces it.
It's the fucking Goodell bot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but but that was horrible and almost made me turn the channel. I mean, just
Twitter erupted, and I'm glad people read through that bullshit.
Well, I mean, what do you expect from a network that also hires Peter King?
Right, the number one NFL shill.
Right.
That a federal judge even came out and said.
I mean, it was amazing. I was as it was coming out, I was like, I can't believe I'm hearing this right now.
Fans should be pissed off, to insult their intelligence.
Right, clearly. That's all this was. We are fucking suckers. Yeah. And they're saying it right to our faces.
Because we're watching the games.
They're saying it right to our faces.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know it's bullshit. We don't believe it. We hate the man. But we're still going to watch the product.
Right, but hold on. But even...
We still consume it.
And we said this when they... I forget the name of the independent guy who ran Miller. Is it Miller?
Mueller, yeah.
You know, but even when he was chosen, we went through, I think probably 8 weeks ago, how he wasn't even biased. I mean, he wasn't unbiased, you know. It was...
You're hired by the NFL.
No, but not only that. He had worked. He had been, like, the NFL was one of his clients for a while.
Right. The law firm that he's affiliated with is a big law firm the NFL uses. So he wasn't unbiased. There was no way that report was going to come out and say anything but what it did. And
that's like Tony Soprano hiring Christopher Moltisanti to decide if he's made an NFL.
Correct.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I mean,
I just wanted to say Moltisanti.
Of course you did.
So the report is bullshit. The coming out and reading the report, you know, bullshit. It's all bullshit. Fuck you. Fuck the NFL. Fuck Roger Goodell.
I almost don't want to.
But you will.
Well, you know what though? For the Dallas Green Bay game, I painted my fence all day Sunday. I missed a lot of that game. I missed the catch play.
You showed him. You showed him.
Hey, one part. It's got to start somewhere, right? I did my part. All right. I didn't watch that fucking game.
Well, you know what you missed.
I heard.
Going into the Dallas Green Bay.
A friend of mine heard. He made a catch.
No, he didn't.
Wait, but the replay showed that he made a catch, huh?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
Oh, but you can imagine what a catch looks like.
Yeah, so the entire game was pretty much reduced down to this one play, which is fantastic poetic justice for Dallas, because that's how they got into the game, was based off of referee's help. And it was finally, you know, karma's a bitch. And actually, throughout the game, it looked like the refs were helping Dallas again. There were several calls that I felt like were in Dallas's favor that shouldn't have been. Either it was against Green Bay or for Dallas. But did you guys hear the explanation afterward that made a lot more sense? Because I'll be honest, objectively speaking, when they first made the call and said it wasn't a catch, I kind of disagreed. I mean, that kind of looks like a catch to me.
No, look, the ball clearly moved when he hit the ground and touched the ground. And he lost
the ball
control.
Touched the ground, and that was
and it. He lost control of the ball. I mean, it clearly did. Like the rule or not, but he did not have control. As it, you know, it was leaning on his shoulder, and he had a hand on it. But the ball was moved.
Down when
the big question was: did he make? Once he caught it, did he make the football move the stretch into the end zone? Now, according to the stupid rule in place, the refs made the right call, but it's a dumb rule.
It's not about at this. Before it was even the possession in making a football move, they came back later and on another show and said it's not even that so much as it is when you catch the ball cannot touch the ground.
Well, if
when you go down,
right, when
and it touched
going
the
to
ground,
the, right.
And you see the most.
But I mean,
the example that you see the most of it is usually when a player catches the ball close to the ground and the nose kind of touches a blade of grass.
Which,
and that's
did
not
that
a catch.
Happen in Green Bay early in the game? And I think the call
maybe
went
so.
To Green Bay.
Probably.
I didn't watch the game. Dude.
Probably you were painting the fence, Mr. Miyagi. But they showed the play. They call it the Calvin Johnson rule, right? They showed that Calvin Johnson catch where he caught it in the end zone years ago. And he came down and
he touched the ground with it. Sorry, that's clearly a catch.
And not according to the whatever the rule is.
Because the rule's stupid. You know who's the commissioner of the league? Goodell.
Okay.
Yeah, but he doesn't make those. Those rules are set
fuck
up
him.
By
he
the...
Fuck him. He makes everything. Fuck him.
No, that's not true. But, I mean, the rule is what it is. And, no, Dez Bryant did not make that catch.
Well, here's the other question. So, last week, Dez Bryant is not flagged for coming off the sidelines without his helmet, right?
Right.
They did this call again. Dez Bryant came out onto the field again, when he was protesting the call, he was like almost to like the middle of the field, even. No helmet. No flags.
He's grandfathered in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. Look, that's bullshit. Any player that comes off the sidelines onto the field to needs to be flagged.
Harbaugh got penalized for that this weekend. Walking on the field.
Not Dez Bryant.
Well, I'm sure you all saw Detroit's tweet to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dallas, that was pretty cute. There, you said, Dallas, we know how you feel.
How did you see a tweet? You're not on Twitter. how the fuck did you see that?
Look at that tweet.
How did you see that tweet?
A news agency reported.
Oh, really? Oh, they're reporting on tweets.
Really? Okay.
So Detroit tweeted at, like, it was from the Detroit
Lions. Yeah, the Detroit Lions. Wow. Dallas, we know how you feel.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. Live by the ref, die by the ref.
I'll be honest, I was kind of pulling for Dallas only because, to me, Dallas stands a better chance.
Oh, God, I wasn't.
Seattle.
I wasn't. I mean, there was no way I wanted Dallas.
I was not in
the
Super
Bowl. I don't care for Dallas.
Oh, my goodness.
I hate Seattle.
I cannot live with another. I can't, especially if Dallas were to win the NFC Championship game, get to live with those 2 weeks of the freaking people talking about Tony Romo and Jerry Jones.
But then you blow it in spectacular fashion in the Super Bowl.
You know,
I don't want to even hear him talk about it.
You know, Jason, that's a good point. Watching them losing the Super Bowl might have been enjoyable to watch the crying fan. But I could not stand the 2 weeks of the Dallas love fest of the media, and you know,
or even leading into the AFC championship,
just horrible. Just they want Dallas to be successful so bad. The media, and then the NFL Network is so unwatchable with Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin, and just how much they. Oh, I'm talking about the Cowboys. I mean, yeah, it's just unwatchable. And those two are unwatchable. Michael Irvin is unlistenable. Him and Deion sit there. Oh, just you know, everything is always the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Pay the man. Pay the man.
That is Michael Irvin.
Yeah. Pay the man. Oh, that's a grown man. I mean, just terrible, terrible. And they're speaking over, like I said, the play-by-play guy while he's trying to show
You mean Joe Buck jerking off to him?
No, I'm talking about NFL Network. It's not Joe Buck. It's somebody. It's whoever's on the NFL Network.
Big Air Andrew Siciliano.
You know, and then and they're talking. They're having. You know, they don't realize that they're taping a TV program, and they're showing highlights, and they continue to go forward, and they're talking about a highlight that happened 30 seconds ago. So it's just they're horrible. NFL Network needs to. I don't know who they are.
Well, that's what happens when you hire, or you're going to hire a bunch of former players. None of them have education in broadcasting.
ESPN hires everybody.
Everybody has former players.
They go through classes. So
ESPN gets the top tier talent, and NFL Network is left with whatever else is there.
No, because you have other former players. Marshall Faulk does well.
Kurt Warner does well.
Warren Sapp does well. Jamie Dukes is a big fat turd.
He is a pussy fart.
So anyway, getting back on track, it was just, as much as I dislike Dallas, I hate Seattle even more. Like, I just don't want to see Seattle going to the Super Bowl again. And to me, I'd have more faith in Dallas going up there and beating them than I do Green Bay going up there and beating them.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, I would never pull for Dallas, yet, man, fucking Seattle, man.
Did you move to Alexandria? I didn't know about it. He's cheering for Dallas over here. All right, the other game, the last game. Ooh.
Wow.
Indianapolis at Denver choke jobs. Ugh.
That's my boy, Andrew Luck. That's my second team.
I gotta say, Peyton Manning is now 11-13 in postseason games.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean this has always been the knock on him.
I mean, he's got six, seven, or eight, I don't know the exact number, one and duns. Yeah. Like, get in the playoffs and lose
it. Right, now look, early on
he's
in
like
his career.
He's almost like a Dan Marino, but
early on in his career. They were going against that dynasty, the Patriots team,
right.
And you know, I mean, you were, and look, that happens. You go back to the late '80s, early '90s Saints team, and we're in the division with
San Francisco.
I mean, the Saints are the only team winning 12 games and getting a fucking wild card playoff.
Right.
You know, I mean, back then, so you kind of tip your hat to Peyton there, saying, well, you know, you're going against some tough teams.
Mike Smith coaching them teams against Peyton Manning is tough.
So, Matt the Hair Mike Smith is a defensive coordinator for this podcast. Hey, might need a job.
Yeah, but obviously, if you look at the last six games of this season, Peyton Manning wasn't the, you know, the Peyton Manning that we know.
Is it age?
Well, word was coming out today that he had a quad injury, like a severe quad injury that he was kind of playing through.
Well, and that comes with age. And I tell you, as I'm watching that game, Denver, their whole scheme or their strategy looked very similar to what I watched the Saints do all year. It was, I mean, they didn't barely went deep.
Well, I mean,
No. They were going deep.
They went deep a lot. But they didn't convert any of them.
Okay. Right, like me and my girlfriend, man. I'm always going deep.
Okay, well,
it was a lot of dink and dunk, they tried to go deep, and they couldn't. I mean, so many times he kept trying to hit Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, all the time, okay. Just overthrow.
Well, so that's the part, I guess, that made it look like the Saints with the dink and dunk. It was just ineffective. Yet, you know, I say that about the Saints, and in the same breath, you look at it, I mean, we still had, the number four total offense?
Same thing with Denver, had a number whatever offense, but it can look like shit at times. If you can't get anything going.
When it hits. When it misses, it misses.
And they were running the ball okay, but they got behind. I mean, I didn't think the Colts team around Luck was that good. Like, the Colts defense played great.
Yeah.
Stepped up.
They really did. I didn't, you know, they didn't have a run game, but this guy Heron is coming in and providing them something, and Luck is just so good. He can will that offense, but the defense really surprised me.
Goodness forbid they can get a running game.
Trent Richardson, the number one pick for him was fucking inactive.
Right.
Inactive. Like, if they just don't trade that pick and draft whoever, first-round draft pick, that other than Trent Richardson, then it's... But, I mean, dude, Luck is fucking good. Man.
Luck is good.
You know what? It's crazy. Fucking Indianapolis got to go Peyton Manning 1 year off, and now Andrew Luck for the next 10 to 15 years.
They're back in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, good for
against
them.
New England.
Against New England.
The more things change, the more they say the same.
Luck's going to be... Yeah, just think of, Luck. What if he wins and then wins the Super Bowl?
He will have won as many as Peyton Manning.
Right, in his third year.
As good as Peyton was, Luck doesn't...
Right. Oh, look, I mean...
Peyton's one for three in Super Bowls? Or one for two?
One for three.
Denver last year.
And his one win is against Rex fucking Grossman.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Right. That was our Super Bowl also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And 2011. Fuck! No! I can't ever think that. We could have three fucking Super Bowls. Oh, Sean Payton would be just like Bill Belichick.
Belichick!
Oh, man.
But he's not.
No.
Say. Okay, so that's pounding the playoffs.
Why did you send me on that tangent? That's mean.
Sorry, guy. All right, moving on to our next segment. It's headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Okay, so we got a few headlines to discuss. Since you talked about Bill Belichick, one quick one I'm going to throw out there is, did you know that Bill Belichick is now tied with Tom Landry for the most postseason wins by a head coach in NFL history? And that number is 20 wins.
Look, I mean, they've said it. People don't like Belichick. People don't like winners. They get jealous of them. You know, I experience this all the time.
Well, so, you don't like winners,
well, huh? He does go to the Saints facilities.
Yeah. So people don't like winners. They get jealous. And Belichick is one of the greatest coaches of all time. Now, he did, fortunately, draft one of the best quarterbacks in the seventh round that no one saw coming.
Sixth round.
Okay, you know, but I mean, that helps. You know, getting one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game.
He fell ass backwards into that.
Right. So.
And to get all that out of him because of an injury.
To another quarterback, right. Drew Bledsoe, who was a top quarterback at the time, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, but you also have to give Belichick, some credit for Brady's success. And the thing you look at also in New England, man, how they run that organization like a championship, you know.
He changed the culture of that one. New England was perennial losers before he got there. All you young listeners, New England was a joke of a team. Worse than the Saints.
No, not worse than the Saints. No. They had been to two Super Bowls.
Well, what? How many years? 30, 40 years before?
I don't care, but it was
No, cool. No. 86 in the Dome.
No, he's about since their beginning, since their founding.
I don't know when they were founded, but they had 86 in the Dome, 97 in the Dome. Then I wanted
to. Oh, 97. Who was coaching him in 97?
Parcells.
That's
right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, but look, Belichick definitely deserves.
I mean, Parcells really turned that organization around before Belichick got there.
Well, yeah, they were. Pete Carroll was there. Yeah, they were laughing stock for a while.
But back to Belichick, he definitely deserves a to give all the respect
versus the Patriots.
You know, for coaching, he is one of the best.
Yeah.
Nine AFC title games.
And speaking of your favorite quarterback there, Tom Brady, did also surpass Joe Montana for the most touchdown passes in the postseason. And I don't have that number.
Yeah, but it helps when you play a lot of games, but you're good enough to play a lot of games.
That's the object, is to play a lot of postseason games. I mean, would you say, Jason, that before the show you were saying?
Nine AFC championship games, this will be for them.
If they make it. If they make
in
it.
15,
yeah. Or, no, they made it. Or, no, in, yeah, they made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, this is their ninth.
In 15 years. I
mean, the Saints have two. And how awesome.
Right, do we think we are? Right.
Have nine.
Right. Basically, every other year they go to the AFC championship.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the Montana thing.
Montana?
Yeah. Just all respect to Brady, but Montana was doing that when it was a running league, not a passing league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, but he also did it when they could get away with the fucking dynasty.
Oh, Montana had.
Right, Montana had
Rice, Bryce. Taylor, Rathman, Craig.
Yeah.
And a great offensive line, a good defense, and a great coach. I mean, look, Montana was still great, but.
Montana's the greatest coach, quarterback of all time.
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
All right. All right, so here's the other headlines that you might be more anxious about talking about. Ryan Pace.
We talked about him last week a little bit.
Assistant GM is now going to be the GM at Chicago. Mm. So he's stuck with Cutler for at least another year.
Well, look, good. You know, we probably definitely lost a good piece of our organization there, but hopefully we'll just,
Hopefully we'll draft better this year than we drafted last year.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but you look back at a couple of drafts. You know, you look back at the 2011 draft or the 2010 draft, like literally nobody that we drafted is on the team.
How long was Pace here for?
Since the Peyton era, right?
He started out as a ball boy.
Oh, did he?
At some point.
Here?
Like a long time, maybe 2000,
2001. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Somehow he
now look at
stuck
it.
Around. Yeah.
Damn.
He was director of pro personnel scouting, like scouting other teams, free agents, whatnot, and then he became just the overall director either last year or the year before.
And that is how you become a GM, folks. You first have to handle the team's balls.
I believe Mickey Loomis started as a ball boy up in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah. When he came in, remember, it was Mueller that brought him to our organization in 2000.
So then we fired Mueller and said, Mickey, stick around.
There you go. All right, so yeah, Ryan Pace up in Chicago. It's be curious to see what he does with his career.
We still got to hire a coach. I mean, they just don't have a coach right now.
Yeah, but speaking of coaches, Rex Ryan is not going to go to Atlanta. He's going to Buffalo, not too far from where he already is.
It's crazy, staying in the NFC East. It's very interesting. I mean, you got to play the Jets twice a year, so I would imagine maybe week one or whatever primetime game is going to be Rex at New York.
Sure. Wasn't he with the Patriots before?
No, he's with the Ravens.
The Ravens?
He's defense coordinator. Maybe when they won the Super Bowl.
Right, but him, you know, he definitely has a rivalry with the Patriots. And so that'll be all right. That'll give
you to keep it going.
Right, two games against the Patriots and two games against New York.
But, of course, the Falcons interviewed him, and supposedly he liked the Falcons situation and wanted to go there, and they were –
Well, one of the things, because it was big news, right? Everybody did think he was going to Atlanta. The Atlanta fan base was, you know, almost getting an erection, but they can't get an erection because they're all impotent. But, you know.
I heard their grass died.
But,
they pay for PSLs and still be impotent.
Right, but what happened is Everybody was shocked when you took the Buffalo job.
PSLs, penis stays limp.
And,
it'll cost you $40,000.
What came out of the Ryan camp was that he didn't feel that Dimitrov was really behind him. Hmm. So that's what kind of soured him on the Atlanta job. Now, we all know Dimitrov came from the Patriots, and the rumor mill is he's big on Josh Daniels.
McDaniels?
Yeah. And that also came out this week that...
McDonald's?
Good, please
hire McDaniels. Is that he is staying with the Pats.
The Pats, yeah.
Because no one wants to go ditch Atlanta.
Good job, Dimitrov.
Atlanta is a shit organization and a shit town with shit fans. And the quarterback who shits
his stadium
pants.
Coming up.
Right. And the stadium is in the shape of a toilet bowl, which is very appropriate.
Yeah. A metal asshole.
Yeah.
That will clench when closed. When the Falcons choke, the roof will just clench.
Pinch one off.
I'm happy. I didn't want to see a Rex in Atlanta.
No, me neither. You know, I don't think – I'm not a big fan of Rex Ryan. I mean, as far as coaching, I like the guy. But I didn't want to give him a real quarterback and see if he could turn around a defense, you know, because then they would be dangerous.
That's the one thing about going to Buffalo. They don't have a quarterback in Buffalo now.
And that's what people are saying, that it's kind of like
– It's the Jets all over again.
Right, the Jets all over
again. It's test of the Devils all over again. All right, the other news that just came out today for us, is John Fox, one day after losing, mutually agrees to part ways with Denver. Do you think this is health more than anything?
No, I think it's him and Elway, the management. I don't think they got along. Crazy to think a guy who
went to the Super Bowl and then the division round.
38 games in three seasons.
Yes. Funny one with that.
But John Fox has a history of, I mean, him and Peyton are in the same boat. I mean, when John Fox was with Carolina, the few years that they did have success really didn't amount to much.
Well,
they made it to a Super Bowl.
They made it to a Super Bowl.
And lost to the
Patriots.
Hold on, but they took a lead late in that game. Like, they could have easily won that game.
Right, they only lost by three. But also, look, they had...
But they lost.
They had just remembers their quarterback. Yeah. You know, they never had that.
The loam.
And Jake Delhomme was their quarterback. I never had that.
he was decent. It's crazy. He was decent for a while, but man, when he fell off, he just fell off the cliff. Like,
yeah.
But it's interesting. Like,
he's no Bobby Abe.
Like, less than 24 hours after their loss, he parts ways. So now what happens to Peyton? Do they bring him back? Because his salary is like 19, his cap is $19 million. Do they bring him back? Or do they say... They totally rebuild, because, I mean, now...
Does he want to come back with the
new coach? You can have all new coaches.
Does he go somewhere else with a new coach?
Well, he might retire. I don't think Peyton Manning needs to
buy. I don't know that Peyton Manning retires.
It's his offense.
Right. Remember when he was choosing the teams? Because that's what it was, you know, when he was a free agent. I mean, he was choosing teams where he wanted to go to make everything... And look, God bless, I mean, you know, we always had that sort of stroke at our job, you know. But Jeff just broke his balls with his hand, so, you know.
Wait for it.
But just think, with all the teams, remember when it came down to certain teams, just think if he had gone to Arizona, you know. Think about different, like Larry Fitzgerald would have had an actual quarterback to throw to. They got that defense. Or Houston. Houston was one of their top.
So, just like in the postseason, Peyton chose poorly.
Well, they had a great team last year. What Seattle did to them was just coming. No one saw that coming.
No,
you're right.
You know what? I mean, look. He threw for 4,700 yards, 39 TDs.
All right, but
I don't see him walking away.
I kind of agree. I think if there's any football left in him, I think he comes back.
I mean, he's still good enough to be a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Oh, yeah, a top 5.
He went in the division round of the playoffs.
But, I mean,
Drew Brees didn't.
Now, I don't know that it'll be Denver. I was thinking about it today.
Where is he going to go?
I think he goes to a team like Houston. Think about it. Plays in the South. All their games are going to be good weather. You know, he's not going to have to be throwing the cold. They've got a great defense. They have a great team. They won 9 or 10 games this year with fucking Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, and me at quarterback. They have J.J. Watt on defense.
Yeah, but I'm wondering how.
I mean, it's going to be if Denver wants to rebuild and totally just.
Well, right. I mean, I'm wondering
or
if he can get out of that contract.
I mean, I think Denver's got to pick up his options. $19 million. They decide to go the other way.
And let him walk.
And they just let him walk and say, "Hey, just it was
fun on their cap situation." You know? But the story was really about John Fox leaving Denver. Where does he go, or does he retire?
No, I think he's ready to.
Does he go to Atlanta?
Well, I think he might go to Chicago because him and John Fox and Sean Payton are really tight. So if he needs any input, like Ryan Pace now being the GM of Chicago,
that's fine. He can go to Chicago. I think that's fine by me. I don't know that I ever thought that John Fox was the reason Denver. So part of me is kind of like, can John Fox maybe go to Atlanta? That'll help us out. I mean,
if he wants to, I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be scared of John Fox. Yeah. I mean, back into the division.
Right. So I don't know. There's another coach in the carousel. Okay. Other news. The last headline I had was that earlier this week, late last week, the NFL Hall of Fame. Class of 2015 finalists were announced. They include, but not limited to, I'm just going to name the big names, Morten Andersen in his first year of eligibility, Orlando Pace in his first year of eligibility, Kurt Warner in his first year of eligibility.
No, I think Morten has been eligible, but he didn't make the finals.
This is Morton's first year of eligibility.
You sure about that? I don't think you're right, buddy.
Google Wikipedia.
Oh, you're right. His third year.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You take a shot.
Gilly. Sorry. Yeah. First year of eligibility, Orlando Pace Jr., Seau, and Kurt Warner. So other names, Jerome Bettis, Tim Brown, Terrell Davis, Tony Dungy, Charles Haley, Marvin Harrison, Jimmy Johnson, and Junior Seau, I said. There's other people in there, but...
They're not, at least you don't.
I mean, I think Orlando Pace will be a first time.
Do you think he's in?
I think so. I think Orlando Pace. Terrell Davis, I'm surprised that he got. I don't think he'll ever get
in. No, his career went long enough.
Yeah,
as long as it was. Right. His career went long.
I don't think he'll get in. I think Moore deserves to get in. I think this is the furthest he's gone, but I think they make him wait because he's a special teams player.
I don't think it's like you said, they got guy in.
Right.
This past year.
Right. Last year they had guys, so they're going to wait and it'll be the next.
I think Junior Seau gets in because he killed himself. And
well, no, I think Junior.
I think he gets a pity vote.
No, if he was alive, he'd have been in first ballot.
This is his first ballot.
That's what he's saying.
If he was alive, it wouldn't have mattered.
He would have still gotten
in on the first try.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he would have gotten in on the first
try. Yeah, I think, okay.
Junior would have gotten in.
But this seals it.
He didn't need a sealer.
All right. But it does.
It doesn't hurt.
Well,
oh, it hurts.
Oh, it hurts. Okay, we're all going to hell.
Too soon.
So we got Pace, we got Seau.
I think Bettis deserves.
No.
Yeah, I think he'll win.
Jerome Bettis was phenomenal. Are you kidding me?
I think Tim Brown deserves an
NFL. Tim Brown deserves. He's been waiting for a while now.
I mean, he got 1,000 catches back.
Yeah. When
Tim Brown's waited 6 years.
Yeah, Tim Brown deserves it.
Yeah.
Pace.
Tim Brown's waited 6 years. Jerome Bettis is in his fifth year.
Tim Brown deserves.
I still think Charles Haley ought to be in. The man won 5 Super Bowl rings.
Jerome Bettis was Rookie of the Year.
Okay, we know how good Jerome.
Yeah.
He ran for a lot of yards. Jerome Bettis should get in.
He ran for a lot of yards. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to take away from Tim Brown, but
who knows whether senior committee members or
Right. Yeah. Hey, what did 5 people get in? 3 current and 2. Yesteryear?
Do they have limit? They have limits. You can only.
Oh yeah.
Maybe like 5 active, like 2 like.
Right, modern players.
Right,
is that how they call them?
Okay.
And right. I think it's 5 modern players and then 2.
Okay, maybe. Okay.
I don't know if they call it yesteryear players or something to that effect.
Okay. Yeah, I mean Jimmy Johnson. I mean, he only coached. Well, he did go. He coached at Miami after that.
Right, and was terrible.
Yeah.
He suggested Dave Wanstead.
And his irregular mustache.
Yeah. Is he eligible? But he's always eligible. I mean, he's been eligible.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't coached.
I mean, Dungy, I mean.
No. Well, you know what? They're going to put Dungy in. They're going to put Dungy in.
Yeah, I mean, he built Tampa and he won the Super Bowl with Peyton.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. It's funny, though, all those one-loss teams were also Dungy teams. But that seems to go on the quarterback, not the coach.
Well, of course.
So I'd like to see Morton Anderson go in. And I imagine he goes in as a Saint, right?
Well, you don't go in as any particular player in the NFL Hall of Fame. You just are inducted.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you.
No, that's baseball. Yeah. And underneath your bust in the.
They list all your teams.
Right, they list all your teams.
Saints from 95 to 2000.
Right. Then he played you with.
85, Atlanta. I'm sorry, 82 to 94.
What the fuck?
I misread.
95 to 2000 is the same as 82 to 94, somehow.
I was just looking at numbers on a screen.
Then he played for Atlanta.
From 95 to 2000.
Minnesota.
And then 06 and 07.
Kansas City. Right.
The Giants in 01.
Right, when you were with the Giants.
2 and 3, he played for Kansas City. 04, Minnesota. 25 seasons, 382 games.
That'd be cool. He should have kicked for us in 06.
Yeah.
Awesome would that have been if he was our kicker in 06.
Yeah, I wanted him. I was hoping they'd bring him back. Who did we have in 06?
Carnies.
What?
Circus folk.
Carney kicked for us, and then we booted him, and then he came back. We decided to let go Monterey.
That was
Martin Gramatica.
And Gramatica. And,
Well, then they went on to be Pro Bowlers the following year.
Okay, that's headlines. I think our next segment would be... Look at them tweets.
Hey.
This one came last week. It was too late for the show. So I did promise to hold it for this week. It comes from Preston Allen at P-Stone 1984. And the tweet is, I always miss the call for questions on the show. What do you think about my idea of the Saints switching Kenny Vaccaro to linebacker?
Too small.
Yeah, too small.
Yeah, that's simple. Yeah.
All right, and that is tweets from Twitter.
Or no, that was looking at tweets.
Oh, right there.
You know, I mean, look, the same thing was said about
Roman Harper.
Roman Harper, you know.
Yeah, he's not taking the pound in and making the tackles of a linebacker on every play, having to take the blocks of the offensive lineman, no chance.
Right. I mean, that's a common question to strong safeties.
And strong podcasters.
Yeah, you know, because most strong safeties, they are not your best cover backs, you know, but they come up and support the run.
They have their utility.
Right.
Use it like it is.
Correct.
All right, so that's going to carry us into Pick'ems. It's all about the game, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control. Ah!
How did we do in Pick'em?
Ooh!
We can bypass.
Now, what place was I in?
You were in last place last week at 43 and 43. You were at 500.
Two people were ahead of me.
Two people were ahead of you.
Two.
That is correct, two. Okay. And, man, you had quite the week. You went 3-1.
Damon, last week you said this was boring. We don't need to go through the story.
So anyway, shut up. You have Jason talk.
So Damon had the best week last week, went 3-1.
Excellent.
Your only loss was Carolina. Even with 11 points,
you know,
Jeff took Carolina also on his way to 0-4.
0-4
last week. Man, it's been such a fall. Jeff was in first place for so long this season. I mean,
fucking point spread.
All the way up.
But Jeff is ahead.
If it was head to head, I'm 3-1.
Jeff is ahead of no one right now. Correct.
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, he had the lead.
Technically, Damon, you're not ahead of me. We're tied.
That's not what I said. What did I say?
He said ahead, not two vaginas.
I said Jeff is ahead of no one.
So anyway, I'm ahead of Craig.
I mean, Jeff, you had the lead, going into week 16. All season, Jeff had the lead.
Week 16.
I'm like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Peyton Manning. Yeah. Good joke.
And then took him. Yeah. So Jeff is now tied with Damon, 46-44. I went 2-2 this week. So I have a 3-game lead on these two with 3 games to play. So I sit dormy. So it's going to be interesting because you motherfuckers
have to go 0-3. All you need to do is win one game.
Well, but here's the problem. Yeah. I have to go 0-3, but you two are tied. Are y'all going to do the same game every single time? That means that's guaranteed that y'all are going to finish tied.
We will see.
We'll see.
All right, then. We will see. All right, first game, the 2 o'clock game on Sunday on Fox. The 2-seed Green Bay Packers at the 1-seed Seattle Seahawks. We discussed the games earlier today. This is a rematch of Week 1, the first game of the NFL season this year on Thursday night.
Yeah, well, look at how that played out.
And Seattle beat them pretty handily. Pretty handily in Seattle, which is where this game is, and the Seahawks are favored by 7.5. And Aaron Rodgers is coming in.
Gimpy.
With a gimpy leg now, today McCarthy said, oh, Aaron feels better this week than he did last week.
Of course he's going to say
that. Well, I'm sure he does, but he doesn't feel 100%. I mean,
he's going to have to keep the line down.
Dude, he got hurt in the game. He I think, aggravated it during the game. You saw him limping around out there.
No, Jeff, I didn't watch the game. I was painting a fence.
Mr. Miyagi.
Take that, Mr. Goodell. Why did I call him Mr.?
Yeah.
Bitch.
Fuck that dude with a bat with razor blades.
Yep. Oh, or beer bottle tops.
Yeah. They have spiky edges.
Oh, and they do have spiky edges.
Yeah. All right, so who's going to go first in this one?
We'll let the winner go first. The leader.
All right, that would be Alex Barbie.
Oh.
Who I don't know if anybody's going to catch him. He's 54-32.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go with Green Bay. Mm. Even though I went with Seattle last week.
You like the points, huh?
No, I hate fucking Seattle.
Mm-hmm. All right, glad to see a lot of thought goes into this.
Rodgers is good enough to be able to.
Must be nice to not have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go next. I took Carolina, thinking that 7 points was just too much.
11 points.
Seven.
Oh, seven.
It was a 7-point spread last week.
No, it was 11.
11 points.
That's why you took Carolina, because you were getting 11.
Oh.
And y'all are still stupid.
Yeah. Okay, well, that further proves my point of why I should probably take Seattle in this one, which I will. They made believers out of me.
Oh, just last week they made believers out of you?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Seattle also, because it does two things. No, well, it does two things. It does two things. It makes me different from Jason, and it keeps me even confused. So I have to take Seattle, right?
At some point... You might want to beat him.
Well, I'm going for you. I'm not trying to look at Jeff's going to beat himself. Don't worry.
Every night.
All right, and then our next game, the late game, CBS, Phil Nance, Jim Nance, Phil Sims. CBS.
Did you say Phil Nance?
I did say Phil Nance. I failed his cracking. The Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots. Third-year QB Andrew Luck taking his team. Man.
What is this, 2005?
Two good wins, and, Bill Belichick, another interesting game choice for Damon. So last week, he has his favorite quarterback, Andrew Luck, against his favorite family, the Mannings, and he chose Luck. Now, he's got his favorite QB against his all-time favorite coach. So, man, you're really testing Damon.
His favorite dynasty,
right?
The AFC is really doing a number on Damon.
Yeah.
What's the spread?
New England's favorite by 7.
Another 7, huh?
New England did beat the Colts fairly handily earlier this season.
Like Damon said, though, New England is kind of like this do just enough to win kind of team. And they proved that last week.
Well, I went first last round. So
Damon, you go. And I went before you, Damon, so it's your turn.
Y'all are both going before me this time.
It's Damon, then me, then you.
A tough choice for Damon. I mean, he might have to go think about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's a veritable Sophie's choice.
I mean, look, he's got to go into his room and look at his Belichick shrine and his Luck shrine and figure out, man, you gotta figure out which one you really want.
The stage is going to be a little too big for Andrew Luck.
He's got to pull that horseshoe out of his ass.
I'm going to take the Pats.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, Belichick.
Nah, let Jeff go.
Oh, yeah, go. Don't worry.
Oh, it's Jeff's turn.
I kind of feel... I'm feeling New England. I felt them all playoffs. I think they win the game. Question is, do they win it? You know what? Balls to the wall. I'm going to go with Indianapolis. Just to do something.
Wow.
I'm taking the Lux.
Man.
I'm hoping you take Indianapolis.
I really thought about it. I think
you should. 7 points is a lot of points.
I still think New England's going to win the game. I just don't think they're going to win by seven.
Yes, Jeff. Everybody but you understands point spreads.
But the Colts could.
Man. The Colts can put up with T.Y. Hilton. I mean, they can put up some points.
Man.
7 points, like you said. Look, even in their Super Bowl runs, if I'm not mistaken, the Patriots had never won a Super Bowl more than 3 points, right? All of them were 3-point games.
I'm going with New England.
Oh. Well, wait a second.
Okay. Oh, damn, Jason, me and you are complete opposites this week.
No, you're not.
Only one.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're wrong.
Only one will win the league.
All I have to do is just win one.
Hey, I got a 3-game lead. Either way.
All I have to do is win one.
Yeah. All I have to do is win one.
On your two splits. As long as he's right once, he's.
Yep.
But if one of us goes 2-0.
Yeah, oh, I don't like that Jason picked mine. I was hoping to be opposite of Jason. If he'd have picked Indy, then I would have been totally.
I mean, I really do like.
Damon could go.
I like Indy a little bit, but
no, it doesn't matter. If I win both, I get one on you, but him and I, him and I are.
Or you get
we're pushed. Yeah. I mean, I just get one on him, and it doesn't. I need three.
Okay, what else we got?
That's it in terms.
That's
of
it.
That was a short pick 'em.
Two games. I mean, championship win again.
Yep. Okay, so you know what? The Saints are done, but that doesn't mean that sporting events in New Orleans are over. So we do have a little time for a quick Pelican Plunge!
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You're gonna win!
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final cast and call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw.
It's been a while. I was hoping this would have been under happier circumstances, but we fucking lost tonight on some bullshit shots that Boston made.
A lot of fouls
that weren't called against us, called against them. That's just aggravating. Like, it makes me hate basketball. Like, tonight just sucked.
But we beat Memphis.
We did beat Memphis.
And there's a trade.
And there is a trade, that's why we got him. We finally got rid of Austin Rivers, and I'm sure a lot of people are happy. He hasn't been good, and he got better last year, and this year he started off okay, but man, the last, like, month of the season,
he was definitely regressed.
He just regressed. He was just his same old shit self. So we included him in it was a three-way trade with Boston and Memphis. Mostly so Boston could move Jeff Green to Memphis.
It was.
So we gave away Rivers, gave away the second round pick Russ Smith, who maybe played 5 minutes this season. He really hadn't done.
And you think when Poindexter gets back here?
Anything. Yeah, so we get
Babbitt doesn't see playing time.
Yeah, we get Quincy Poindexter, who they were the Hornets actually drafted a few years ago, traded him away. Now we got him back. He's a small forward. I think he tore his ACL. Maybe last year, so there were some questions. Maybe the year before, so there were some questions whether he can come back. But he's a very solid player if he's right in this position of need. And when Rivers just went and cut it. So, and we also got a second round pick in return. So the Poindexter should be with the team Wednesday.
Did Loomis organize that trade?
Well, speaking of that, if anyone watched Loomis's last press conference,
yeah, we talked about it last week.
Well, but hold on, but what we didn't talk about, because I'll watch it after we take the show. But what y'all failed to mention is when they asked him if his involvement with the Pelicans was adversely affecting
PR answer.
His job with the Saints. And he said, absolutely not. That is
of course he's going to say that.
That was a ridiculous question. He went on to say that his
involvement with the Pelicans was even overblown.
He sounds like Chris Collins when we're talking about Roger Goodell.
Not at all. So, to all the people who suggested that stupid line of thinking.
No, I still stand by it. I don't think nobody pulls double duty.
If anybody listens to the show, they know you're an idiot.
Well, good. Let them think what they want to think. But I just don't agree with anybody pulling double duty like that.
No one has.
All right. Anything? Final thoughts, Jason?
Final thoughts. Watching these playoffs without the Saints in it has really just been different. It kind of sucked. It's like, I don't know. It's like I just want to be invested because like if the Saints are involved and you're thinking, all right, well, they're going to play one of these teams. I miss having us in the playoffs. Like, it really sucks to not be in the playoffs.
Although I do think that we would have lost royally.
Going up to Seattle.
In Seattle. The way Seattle played,
you know, we
would have had our asses handed to us.
It would have been the same shit that happened before. And it's like, at least we didn't have to witness that this year. I mean, I guess, and that's the trade-off. It's like, when I said in week 16 and 17, like, I'd rather make the playoffs, go to the playoffs, get a home game, win the game, and then see what happens, which... You know, we had played Ryan Lindley, we'd have been in the Panther spot, we'd have gone. But man, if we were going to Seattle and lost like 40-20, I mean, how bitter.
How much more would you hate Seattle?
I mean, I would hate them equally, but it's still, like, I would still, as much as it would hurt, I think I would still rather go. Like, I want to be in the playoffs.
You'd rather have a shot.
Like, right. It's exciting. I eat Popeyes and drink Gatorade and whatever kind of bullshit we pull this year. Like, it's part of the whole experience. And yeah, it's going to suck when you lose.
But you can't win it all if you're not in.
Right. Right.
All right, Damon, final thoughts?
Something we didn't touch on tonight. It did come out last week, and I think after our show, that Rob Ryan is staying.
Oh, yeah.
And he will be our defensive coordinator next year. I like it. Yeah, I definitely like the move. And that Sean Payton backs it, I'm assuming, you know. It makes me even feel more confident. Look, we had a bad year, but Sean Payton is still one of the best coaches in the NFL, so I trust his judgment, and I'm glad to see the old fat man back. And speaking of the old fat man, Jeff right here in front of me, we're in a Margaritaville. Sure. Oh, no, a different old fat man.
I'm a young fat man.
Well, that's relatively speaking. Anyway, I went to Comic-Con this weekend.
Ah!
And as I'm exiting...
What'd you dress up as?
A Saints fan?
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, my God.
I had my Hulkamania t-shirt. People loved it. People get... I got some shout-outs from my Hulkamania
t-shirt. Speaking of Raw, is tonight at the Sporting Center.
Oh, yeah. That's what my girlfriend is
right now. I'm surprised he's even doing the show tonight.
I'm not big. Anyway, shut up. So, leaving the convention center, there is this large man, not large in girth, but tall, big man, wearing a hoodie pulled over his head, kind of cinched. You know, you cinch it, trying to be a little incognito, and it was Coach Ryan.
He was dressed up as a...
No, he just had a hoodie, Trevor Martin.
No, I was going to say a fat Obi-Wan from Jason.
Oh, yeah. I did say
fat Obi-Wan, right?
That's right. No, you did say, but yeah, kind of. You know, but you can tell he was trying to be a little incognito.
Did you talk to him?
People recognize, no, I'm not big on interrupting, you know, quasi-celebrity. That's what I'm doing.
We didn't see him in Achamamas, and he just waved and let him know.
That's right.
Yep.
But anyway, so a couple people did recognize him. You know, you could hear, like, walk up, hey, that's my mind. And a couple of people did walk up to him and ask for photos, and he was very gracious.
I'm surprised anybody at Comic-Con knew who he was.
Yeah, no, so he took his hoodie off, and he posed with him.
They thought he was Porkins from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt?
No, the fat guy in the X-Wing that gets killed.
Porkins. I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
Got a problem here.
Eject! I can hold it.
Pull up!
No, I'm all right.
But you could tell he was, like I said, he was trying to be incognito, trying to enjoy the festivity with his wife and his kid, and he didn't want to be recognized. But when he was very gracious and took his, you know, like I said, took the hoodie off and took the picture with a couple of fans. I can only imagine how hard it would be for him to go through that
whole convention. You know, you're walking up and down aisles. Everybody's going to want to see him. Everyone will talk to him. So I don't know how long he stayed.
It's pretty cool that he's a little sci-fi geek, huh?
Yeah, yeah, no. Cool. Nice little kid. Nice wife. Anyway, next year, I look forward to Comic-Con New Orleans. There was a lot of interesting sights.
And I meant
it's getting better.
A lot more people dressed up this year. I think I went 2 or 3 years ago and no one had dressed up. This year they had a lot.
Well, they're starting to get bigger and more well-known.
Celebrity.
You also have a lot of productions going on here.
I think I
Daryl from Walking Dead was there.
No, supposedly he backed out at the last
time. Yeah, I didn't see Daryl.
But they just brought Babbitt in from the Pelicans and that's fine. Everybody thought it was him.
But I told y'all that I saw Herschel and
Herschel Walker?
Yeah.
And I know from Michael Walker was here.
I saw him, Merle. They were there. I saw them. And
Lou Ferrigno was here.
I saw Lou. And I saw...
Hey, the original Hulk.
Yeah, no. Lou's cool. And I saw Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell.
Oh, yeah? You know, they're doing a Evil Dead TV series, and I think he's going to be in it.
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well... I'm glad to see Rob Reiner stick around. I think getting rid of him might have been a bit of a hasty decision.
Well, just considering how many coordinators that we've gone through.
Right. They're both making good points.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Oh! All right, then.
Let's
get the moonshine. End on a high note. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye,
pig
donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.